Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
You may have seen Bob Morgan's piece in the paper. He said, "I'm the chair of the Illinois House Firearms Safety and Reform Working Group." He is an attorney. And the state representative from Highland Park wrote a piece today about the Supreme Court considering gun laws. Let's talk about that, Representative Morgan, and also about the laws we have in Illinois. How are you today?
I'm okay. Thanks for having me on, John.
You know, I'm familiar just vaguely with what happened in Maine. They have a yellow flag law where rather than immediately notifying the police that somebody isn't mentally well and that maybe the state should confiscate the guns, a yellow flag law says you have to go through a doctor first. A doctor has to say yes, and then the police get involved, and then the gun can be confiscated. What's the mechanism here? Do we have anything like that that works in Illinois?
We do. We have red flag laws in Illinois, but they're not good enough. And unfortunately, we had an illustration of just how much work we need to do when just a few weeks ago, an Illinois state police trooper was pretty brutally shot multiple times by a Chicago man who had been involved with the domestic order of protection, a firearm restraining order, but he still had his gun.
I recall, though, that the state police
situation.
Wasn't there a letter signed by sheriff's deputies across the state saying they're not going to go door to door and take the guns? They have no interest in getting involved in this. I'm wondering literally what the mechanism is. Like, if somebody is acting erratically, do they have to get a note from a doctor saying that they should not have a gun? Do we just call the local sheriff's office? And then is the sheriff going to go to the door and say, "Hey, you're not well, we're going to take your guns"? How does that happen?
Yeah, you're getting to some of the complications here of how do we enforce this. In Illinois right now, this is a process that goes in front of a judge. So for the lawyers that are listening, this is civil law. This is a domestic order of protection, a domestic dispute. And in the case where there's domestic violence, one spouse can go, or a partner can go to a judge and say, "I'm in fear of my health, my life, my safety, my family's safety." And a judge can order that a gun be removed from the home. That happens already. So there are law enforcement that are using pretty incendiary language about going door to door, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people who have proven that they're a risk to themselves and others, just like what happened a few weeks ago. There was no dispute that this guy was a domestic abuser. There was no dispute that there was an order issued by a judge. What didn't happen is the gun being removed. And unfortunately, we saw the consequences of that.
Okay, but in that case, so if somebody says, "Look, and there's no dispute that that man has threatened that woman or threatened a police officer or threatened the community, and we know them to have guns," so then it's the responsibility of the sheriff's deputies to go to that person's house and take their guns, right? Am I correct?
Well, just think about any other domestic abuse situation. If there's domestic violence, please show up to the home. Right, that's really what's involved in this process. When there's a domestic order of protection, whether it's involving a gun or not, police respond to a call like this, and they go and make sure that the other partner is safe or that the home is safe.
Yeah,
that's really the way it works right now. There is a law that was proposed by amazing state representative Maura Hirschauer that's sitting in the state Senate right now that will tighten this up to get to exactly what you're talking about. How do we make sure these guns are removed?
Okay, but currently they're not going to do that. Currently they knock on the door, and if the situation is calm, that person keeps their guns. Is that correct?
No, so it depends on the county. This is the problem. So the state law already allows a police officer to remove that gun in a situation where there's an order of protection. It's just not happening. It's not happening consistently around the state. And so this new law will make sure there's clarity about what's the role of law enforcement, what's the role of the judge, how do you get your gun back if it's proven that you really were not a threat to yourself or others. It's complicated.
I can see.
But there are laws already in place to do this, to make sure we're keeping people safe. We just need to clean that up and make sure there's clarification about what does law enforcement have to do here.
And before the next incident like what happened in Maine happens in Illinois, where a person is clearly not well, is clearly a danger, I would personally urge anybody in law enforcement to be aggressive, err on the side of angering that person, but taking their guns, because an angry and not well person, look what can happen. I mean, it's clear. And you know what's going to happen is we're going to wait until something terrible happens again, and then we react. But we need to be more proactive about this sort of thing. Not randomly taking guns from people, but people who've demonstrated that they shouldn't have a gun. Let's go. And by the way, I'm not a police officer.
And I think the state would agree with you. I think across the board, regardless of whether you're a strong proponent of Second Amendment rights or strong proponent of gun reform, I think everyone agrees that someone who's a danger to themselves or others shouldn't have a gun. I don't think this is a really controversial issue. It's about how do we make sure we're keeping our state safe.
What was the thrust of your piece? You were talking about the U.S. Supreme Court in the paper today. What are you saying there, Bob?
Yeah, as an attorney, this is an issue I take really seriously, and it's just impossible anymore to ignore the real inherent structural flaws in our U.S. Supreme Court. Last summer, they put out this ruling, Bruin versus New York, which literally said if it's a law about guns that's not rooted in the nation's history and tradition, it's unconstitutional. And this is this case next week that we're going to see heard by the U.S. Supreme Court in Rahimi is literally the consequence of such a short-sighted decision. If something was legal in the 1700s,
yeah,
we no longer can have a law about it. And that's what I wrote this piece about, because I think there's a lot, as you know, going on in the world. But we have to pay attention to the real trouble with our extreme U.S. Supreme Court and what's going to happen next if they rule that these kinds of laws can't even exist.
Yeah, speaking of rules that are rooted in our tradition, in the 1700s, if you struck your wife, you would not be prosecuted for it. So what are you saying, that we get to strike our wives today because they are essentially our property? I mean, I don't think that makes any sense. Why would we grandfather a 250-year-old attitude into today?
I agree, and I think that's why I wrote this piece, which is really we have to acknowledge what has happened and where we're heading. We can't ignore the reality of these Supreme Court rulings and the impact on our lives and our safety.
It's a well-done piece, and I appreciate what you're doing and trying to do. I want to encourage you to keep doing it, Bob, and I'll encourage people to read your piece online or in the paper today. Bob Morgan from Highland Park, writing in the Tribune today, we must reform the Supreme Court if we're ever going to tackle gun violence. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me, as always, and the work that you do, John. Take care.